Good morning, everyone. It's always a bit strange when I don't have to wait for the organist to stop. So anyway, welcome to everyone this morning. It's lovely to see you all. And I just have a couple of reminders for you. One is that tonight is the Easter offering service. It's a circuit service. Roz will be here, as will some people from, I believe, from Women in Methodism. The service has been produced by people in Women in Methodism, but I think it will be a very interesting service, and I do hope as many of you will be able to join us as possible to support us as the church hosting the circuit. That's at 6:30 this evening. And also, Judith had arranged, as some of you may have heard, the film of A King and I for the Monday of the bank holiday of the coronation. However, someone has already booked a church that day, so we're going to have to postpone that until the following Saturday. So The King and I will be shown the following Saturday. It will be in the notices to remind you, but it's not on the Monday, as we said before. And now I have the great pleasure to welcome Andy Stoker to lead our service. You'll all remember Andy from our Hazel Grove and Poynton Circuit days from Dalston Lane. And he's going to also talk to us about what Dalston Lane are doing in relation to the asylum seekers that they support in the hotel near their church. So and also to welcome Katrina, his wife, who we all know so well from various things over the years. And it's lovely to see her too. So we take pleasure in welcoming Andy to lead our service. Thank you.
Good morning. Welcome to the worship of God. Our call to worship is on the screen. I'll read the words in ordinary type, and then can we all read the words in bold capitals, please? Come to worship. Christ is risen. Come prepared, expecting, desiring. We do. That's why we're here. We're here to celebrate that God is with us. We celebrate our living Christ in our first hymn, alive in this and every age, in this and every place. Christ is alive, let Christians sing. 297. Thank you for having me. I've come from Darston Lane Church, and as many of you know, I think we were all part of the same circuit until 4 years ago. I last came here, according to my records, in June 2018. We're now part of the United Stockport Circuit. We joined, first of all, with the Stockport Circuit, and then we joined with Romilly Circuit. And we've lost a couple of churches on the way, but we're now about 12 churches. So I'm going to all sorts of new places. But it's great to come here and see a number of familiar faces and to be worshipping with you again. We have a late start at Darston. They're getting ready to worship at 11 o'clock. But we're moving it to 10:45 in the autumn. Change? Who says we don't change? But it's lovely to be here. Thank you. Oh yeah, prayers. Let's begin with some prayers, gathering us together. Some prayers of adoration, and praise, and confession. Let's pray. There's when I say the words "Hallowed be your name," can you all respond, please? Hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name. Let's pray. Lord God, early in the morning when the world was young, you made life in all its beauty and terror. You gave birth to all we know. Hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name. And early in the morning when the world least expected it, a newborn child crying in a cradle, announced that you had come amongst us, that you were one of us. Hallowed be your name.
Hallowed be your name.
And early in the morning, 30 years later, surrounded by respectable liars, by religious leaders, by anxious statesmen and silent friends, you accepted the penalty for doing good. For being God, you shouldered and suffered the cross. Hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name. And early in the morning, a voice in a guarded graveyard and footsteps in the dew proved that you had risen, that you had come back to those and for those who had forgotten, denied, and destroyed you. Hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name. And this morning, in the multicolored, multi-aged company of your church on earth and in heaven, we celebrate your creation. We celebrate your life. We remember your death and we celebrate your resurrection and your interest in us. So we pray, Lord, bring new life where we're worn and tired, new love where we've turned hard-hearted, forgiveness where we feel hurt and where we've wounded others, and the joy and the freedom of your Holy Spirit where we are prisoners of ourselves. A moment of silence. To all and to each, on his community and on his friends, where regret is real, Jesus pronounces his pardon and grants us the right to begin again. Thanks be to God. Amen. I want to show you this little plate. It's on the screen, but it's a plate that means a lot to me.
Don't drop it then.
I won't. It's been all around the world with me. I don't know if you can see what it's made of. It's a butterfly, yeah, and I don't know whether the butterfly was alive or dead when it got put in that plate. It's very precious to me because, have I got this in the right place? I'm going to move it down. It's okay. About 40 years ago, I was living in India and Indonesia for most of the year. Long time ago, I had hair and everything. And I was by myself, and for most of the time, that was all right, because I'm a sort of solitary guy that gets on with myself. But I also felt a bit lonely and a bit fed up at times. I was living in what was then Bombay, and I had to go to Gujarat, the state of Gujarat, and see a factory. And I went up there and had meetings about why the factory was there, how it had been built, all that sort of good stuff. And it all worked all right, and I was staying in the guest house of the factory. Fine. I went back to the room I was supposed to be in, and I was sitting there thinking about life and how I was a miserable so-and-so. And then somebody came and knocked on the door. It was one of the people I'd been meeting that day. And he said, I just wondered if you'd like to come and have a meal with my family. Yes, that would be lovely. Thank you. So I went to his house and met his family, had a lovely meal. And at the end of it, he said, well, it's been very good to have to meet you. Thank you. What can we give you? And he looked around his house, and there wasn't much. This plate. He said, it's been great that you've been here. We'd like to give you this. So that that traveled with me around the rest of the world. Went on to Indonesia and on to America and places. And it was there in my rucksack, and it's come back. And means a lot to me. I wonder if you've ever had an experience where you've received hospitality or you've given it and it's meant a lot to you. No. Have you ever been at work and someone said, this is a new person, make them welcome?
Yes.
Yes, right. So you've done that bit. And how did it feel when you were a new person? Did they just say, that's where you sit, go over there, or was there more to it?
It's important to be made welcome. It gives you confidence.
Uh-huh.
Relationship.
Confidence in relationship, yes, okay. Anything else? Oh, hang on, sorry.
In teaching in the old days, it wasn't a case of you can sit there and don't sit there. That's Mrs. So-and-so or Mr. So-and-so sat there.
That's a Methodist church you're thinking of.
We never experienced that in church.
No. All right. Sorry, somebody over here was saying something.
It's a bit overwhelming when you first go to somewhere.
Yes, absolutely. No. No. But when you get to find your way around, And someone shows you where the canteen is and where you get the mugs from and the rest of it. It's better, isn't it? Okay. Can you show the next picture, please, Mandy? Right. I don't know if you can see that picture clearly. Do you like it? And is there any particular reason why you like it? And what do you think's happening in the picture?
Sharing food,
Roger. Yeah. So there's someone at the back, I think, who may be cooking it. I'm not sure what's going on at the back, but in the middle, yes, there's the person in red. Yeah.
Do you think he's the host and he's offering it to somebody, the person in blue, and then the person in yellow is watching?
Uh huh.
Looks like he's offering something, and from what I can see, his hand.
Yes, you're right. He's got something in his hand. Yes. Anything else? I think they're outside a building. If you can, I think the black is the sky. Yeah. I can't see a castle. I'm seeing sort of corrugated iron. Right. I think they're outside, but I might be wrong. Anything else about it? Do you like it?
Yes.
Yes. Because it's colourful.
It's a warm country, it's not wearing very warm clothing, aren't it?
No. Okay, can we have the next slide, which has just had a little bit at the bottom? Does it remind you of a Bible story? Maybe many. What about that person in yellow, wearing the yellow cloak? Because you pointed out that he's looking at something. Maybe he's seen that they're sharing the food, he hasn't got any yet. Or maybe his eyes are a little bit higher, looking at the person in red.
He's holding something in his right hand, I can't quite see what it is.
Oh, yes. I think it's a lamp. Yeah, good spot. Tell you what, can we have a Bible reading and we'll see where we get to? Are you going to come out to the front or do you want a mic with you?
Today's Gospel reading is from Luke, chapter 24, verses 13 to 35, and it's entitled, On the Road to Emmaus. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognising him. He asked them, What are you discussing together as you walk along? They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?
What things? He asked. About Jesus of Nazareth, they replied. He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus.
He said to them, How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on, as if he were going farther. But they urged him strongly, Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is nearly over. So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight.
They asked each other, Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us. They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembling together and saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen, has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on their way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. Amen.
Amen. So that picture that we had before is one of a series of pictures painted by people in Cameroon. This is why they hadn't got many warm clothes on. Depicting the gospel or gospel scenes from a Cameroonian perspective. And I think if you can remember what was in that picture, we probably had the figure of Jesus breaking the bread. And the guy in yellow, I think he's seen not just that they're breaking bread, but I know who that is now. We're going to sing again. It's a hymn. He's using the book. It's 308. Now then, I've got some instructions on this on the tune. I don't know if you've sung it before. I don't think I have, but it's there in the hymn book. Yeah, there's two lines of introduction, and there's just some, apparently technical term, twiddly bits between the verses, so get ready to sing. Get ready. On the journey to Emmaus, full of storm. The manger walks with us, and to our surprise, he opens our stories and he opens our eyes. Move with us as we talked on the way. Begged him, stay with us and grant us your word. We welcome the stranger and we welcome the Lord. And at evening at the table, as he blessed and broke bread, his words burn within us, let none be ignored. Who welcome the stranger, how welcome the Lord. So here we are on St. George's Day. And whoever St. George was, he wasn't English. He has various antecedents and does various things. And he's important to us, or to many of us. That Bible passage, I'm really pleased to see. It was the lectionary reading for today. And it really fits in, I think, with what I want to say. Now, if you remember, there were three ways in which the travellers could have discovered who Jesus was. They talk about all the events that have happened. They talk about their hopes, their fears, and about how they all seemed to be dashed. And Jesus talks to them about the scriptures and interprets them about how they would refer to the coming of a Messiah, and tries to prompt them to work out what's actually happened. And then they come to the village, they come to where these refugees from Jerusalem, where it's not safe to be, where they have found a home. And Jesus is about to go on, and they say, no, we'd like to give you some hospitality. Come in and we'll break bread together. And that's where the penny seems to drop. And in the Bible, there are lots of stories about traveling in the wilderness, the Israelites, of course, in the Jewish scriptures, about how Jesus himself, according to St. Matthew's Gospel, was a refugee fleeing from an unsafe place to look for some safety in Egypt. Letter to the Hebrews, do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing that, some have entertained angels without knowing it. So, can we have the first slide, please? Yeah. So, Darlaston Lane, as you know, is in Stockport, and Stockport has always seemed to us, although we're changing our mind a bit, it's always seemed a very monocultural place. But that's not the case. People have come to Stockport in relatively small numbers, but they've come over many, many years. There were Jewish people who moved to Stockport in the late 19th century in particular, and also some in the 1930s. And there was a synagogue in Stockport from the start of the 20th century up until 1950s, 1960s, when it closed on Chestergate. At the time of the Second World War, we had a number of refugees, including people from the Channel Islands. One of the ladies that we knew at Davenport Church, when we belonged to that, had come as a refugee from Jersey and settled down to live in Stockport. Our corner shop is owned by an Asian family who came out from Kenya when they were doing similar things to their Asian population as Uganda had done. I myself am an economic migrant. I was living quite safely in another country and decided to move to England. Next slide, please. Oh, I've got the clicker, sorry. The one you gave me, so I could do it. Right. There's three groups I want to talk very, very briefly about. And the first two I don't want to say much at all about, partly because Christine is going to talk about her experience of working with people from Ukraine. They've come with their own rules and regulations, their own way of living in this country. People from Afghanistan who were evacuated mainly in 2021, they've got their own rules and regulations and way of living, and they don't live near us. They live in a different hotel, the Bredbury Hall, and they were allowed to work from as soon as they came, and their children went to school as soon as they came. But there are a lot of people from other countries who, first of all, have travelled already to Stockport, and that's who I'm going to talk about mainly, and some who are waiting and have not yet travelled. I want to tell you about two aspects of what we're doing at Darlaston Lane, and then very, very briefly about what we're doing as a circuit, although I think with your experience of Macclesfield, I know you're ahead of us in that respect. Clicker. This place is really quite important to us now. The Britannia Hotel on Darlston Lane, about a quarter of a mile from our church. I don't think even Britannia would claim it was a top-class hotel, a luxury hotel. In fact, it was voted, I think, the worst hotel in Britain about 20 years ago. And if you look at some of the TripAdvisor reviews before the pandemic, before people from overseas came, they weren't good. But it's there, and there's a leisure club on the right of the picture as we look at it, which is still operating. There's a swimming pool, a gym, etc. But on the left is where the people from other countries who've come looking for a refuge or for asylum live. There's a group of different organisations helping this to happen. So Serco are managing the asylum process. The staff from the Britannia Hotel, who are still there doing the cleaning, doing some of the food, all the food, the maintenance. Stockport Council, SMBC, they have a duty of care. So they have an overview and try and coordinate things. NHS in various shapes and forms, midwives, health visitors, coming in for vaccinations, opticians report, visits, etc. There's a charity called Refugee Action, which has been contracted by the government to help refugees. There's a few volunteers, nothing to do with Darlston Lane, who go in and teach English and other things. And then there's us. Let's find out what the next slide says. Oh, yeah. So there are about 350 people from different countries living in the Britannia Hotel there now. Numbers vary a little bit. And each month, approximately 100 come and 100 go. They go on to what's called dispersed accommodation, living in typically a shared house or maybe a small house for a family, all over the Northwest. We've just said goodbye to one set of friends who've moved to Birkenhead, another set moved to Haywood, they might have gone to Clitheroe, etc. They're all over the place. Where'd they come from? They come from many, many different countries. At the moment, the biggest group comes from Iran, about just under a third, three-tenths, about half that number at the moment have come from Iraq, Albania, Namibia, many, many countries. The typical picture of people who've come to this country for asylum are single men, but that isn't so in our hotel, and I don't know what the overall figures say. We've got roughly equal numbers of men and women. And at the moment, we've got about over 100 children, under 18, from babies up to 18. Languages they speak, huge number of languages. None of which I begin to speak. I don't know the very basics, and they know I don't know. So Farsi, which is the Iranian language that most of our Iranian guests speak. Some of the people in Iran speak are Kurds, and they speak Kurdish Sorani. Some of the Arab, Iraqi people speak Sorani, Arabic. Obviously, from what you've just seen, Albanian and many, many more languages. So what do they have in the hotel? They have a room. If there's two adults in the family and some children, they might have two rooms. They get given some basic clothing. The clothing all second-hand apart from underwear. Thank you, Poynton, for the knickers. They were so popular. Word got round one Tuesday, I'll be talking about, that we had knickers. And we almost had knicker wars, but we passed them on to the hotel for distribution. They get their laundry, they get £9 a week per person, which just doesn't take them very far, does it? You can go on a bus ride and a bus ride back, and then you've spent half of it. What they don't have, nothing in the hotel for leisure facilities. There's no common room, there's no play area for children inside or out. They can't play in the car park because it makes a noise and disturbs the residents. I sort of understand that. They don't have the right to work. When they first came in November 21, none of the children had a place in school. We never properly established the legal rights and wrongs here. I think they were always entitled to a place in school, but all the schools said, reasonably enough, we're full. Until St. George's Primary, I want to make St. George's Junior School, I want to make a plug for them, because they said, we've done our Key Stage 2, they can all come. So all the junior children are able to walk down Nangreave Road, if you know where we are, and go to St. George's. And places have been found in a number of different schools for secondary age children. When the adults have been here for 6 months, they are able to study, to go on a course, improving their English or something else like taking GCSEs. Darston Lane Church is what it is. It was built in the 30s, and it was built in the 30s for a very good reason. Lots of houses were being built there. If you know the area, there's full of 1930s houses, and the more modern ones are sort of filling in the gaps. And that was great, because people wanted a place to worship, they wanted somewhere for socialising, and the community centre, and the church was good for that. People walked to it. It's not near shops, apart from the odd corner shop. It's not particularly near to schools. The schools are all about a mile away. But it was built near the Britannia Hotel, or it is near the Britannia Hotel, about a quarter of a mile. And in 2015, very briefly, in 2016, we had some similar experience. In about half the residential area was taken for people from overseas. And they were on a slightly different deal. They got two meals a day, so they wanted some food, please. They didn't get all the clothes they wanted. So Katrina in particular and some of the volunteers seemed to spend most days touring charity shops trying to get clothes, and we put them on rails and moved them backwards and forwards in the church. Sunday worship's over, let's put the rails in there so we can get that meeting room. And suitcases, because in those days they moved on much more quickly than they do now. We've got people now at the hotel who've been there well over a year. It just seems random to them and to us when they moved on. They all want to move on, just about. But it just comes out of the blue when they get the call. The lady at the bottom, lady in white at the bottom there, was somebody who Katrina in particular has kept in touch with since 2016. She has right to remain. She settled in this country, and the one child she had when she first came is now four children. However, since November 2021, when the hotel was taken over again by Serco for the government, we've done a couple of things. On Tuesday, we did what we call a welcome group, and our worship on Sunday, it gets it's influenced by the number of people who we get from the hotel. We haven't got so many pictures of the residents, the guests. We thought about it. It would be very difficult, I think, to get informed consent from most of them. So the pictures that we've got are very much by exception. So every Tuesday afternoon, 1:30 to 3:30, what we do is a welcome group. We always have drinks and healthy snacks. That picture there, top left, is Not quite what we achieve every Tuesday, but it gives a clue. We have conversational English, people with who are confident enough just to speak in English and have a conversation, maybe use a translator occasionally to help people learn some English. And we do some play and crafts. And this was particularly important when we started because none of the children were going to school. And it's still a bit important now. That little lad on the right, I think he's now started school. But for a couple of weeks, 3 or 4 weeks when he first came, he hadn't got a school place. And we've done some specials. So in Christmas 21, before everybody else had sort of got their acting gear, we provided Christmas presents. If you remember back to 21, most of us were wearing masks there. We did a couple of big specials last summer. We had a forest school event, which involved all sorts of fire raising and building dens and things and dyeing and other stuff, D-Y-E-I, dyeing, over on a piece of waste ground. Cooking pizza was very, very popular, another special. We had about 50 people, children, families come to that, 50 people, plus our own volunteers. I love that pizza, by the way, it's well designed. We've done some other odd things as well. So I took a group to Stockport County. I said, Stockport County, these people haven't got any money, can you reduce them? And they gave us free places, thank you. Oh, well, yes, I'll show you in a minute. Yeah, good one, thank you. I didn't know you'd seen them. Vegetable pickling. That I've got to show you that. Organised by somebody else, but taking place at Darston, and many of our people we know doing that. For the Nowruz New Year Festival. It's not a religious festival, but it's very important at the spring equinox. March, middle of March. Here are these pictures now. Right. So, bottom right, get that out of the way. That's Stockport County. I said to one of the ladies who came, have you ever seen a football match before? She said, no. No, in fact, in Iran, I wasn't allowed to. I wasn't allowed to watch a football match. Top right, the mound of vegetables that was prepared for pickling. Top left, you haven't really got the sense of movement there. We reckon, about 100 people in the church for the New Year, for the Nowruz Festival. The mirror and the table at the bottom left is a very important traditional part of the Nowruz Festival. There are seven food items that they have to have on the table, which remind them of important things, important areas of life. Oh no, yeah, the bottom one, the bottom in the middle, is the dancing. The hall was shaking with the traditional dancing and ululations. Ululations. They don't all come from hot countries, so a lot of them had seen snow before, but when we did have snow, this is a picture from the hotel. We didn't organise that. That was very popular. So our standard offering on a Tuesday afternoon is the food and drink, the conversations and art and craft for the children. So we've now got a number of preschool children coming there. And we never know from 1 week to the next who's coming and how many. Right, we've done a couple more things more recently. I've always been, and I think I'm right, very nervous and reluctant to discuss with people how they got here, why are you here? Because it's not my place, and I might open up painful stories from whatever direction. But we do have somebody in the circuit who is trained in what's called narrative therapy. who's very good at inviting people to share their story and dealing with some of the heartbreaking stories that come out and helping people live with them, really. And we also have working now with another group called Third Wave, who are mainly Iranian people who are now settled in this country, and they can discuss the asylum process with our other guests. They're steeped in the relevant culture. They really made sure that we were going to do Nowruz properly. And they've got lots of ideas. So the bikes and the scooters are things that they've provided for the people at the hotel. Volunteers. We need people to run this thing. We need a minimum of 12, and we normally need and have more. Current pressures on people who are willing to do conversational English. We need more people, obviously, for the specials that we did. We've got about 30 on our books. In the next slide, I'll just tell you where they come from. And one of Katrina's main jobs each week is to check the availability. Because we don't get people to commit in advance. We want them to fill in the sheet saying when they're going to be around to make sure that we're going to do this safely. Excuse me. So, spurious those figures. Around about two-fifths come from our church. And they're probably the most regular. I don't want to suggest that other people are part-timers, but we can normally rely on a good core from Darston Lane Church. Another quarter come from elsewhere in the circuit, Methodists who've heard about what they're doing, what we're doing. Another 10% roughly are from other Christians who've heard about it from a whole variety of reasons. And about a fifth of our volunteers haven't got a declared faith. Why shouldn't they? They're human. So there's a bit of work here. They all need a DBS. They all need training to some extent. Katrina sends out a weekly newsletter about various things that we've heard about, because we, for example, go to a meeting once a fortnight to find out what's happening in various areas of life. We can have quite a lot to do with our friends at the Catholic Church, St. Peter's, who do similar types of stuff. And the risk assessment, yeah, we do that. Right, coming towards the end of what I want to say. No, I think I'm missing I'm missing a slide. Excuse me. Can I get back? Sorry. I'm missing a slide, and it's a slide that says what happens on Sunday. So, on Sunday, roughly, about a third of our congregation come from the hotel. A lot of them are Iranians who are Christians. That's probably why they've had to leave. Women in Iran are not allowed to change their faith, and anybody who becomes a Christian is at risk. So a number of the Iranians are coming now to worship with us. You haven't got the slide, I guess, somewhere? No. No, sorry, don't worry. So each week we get the worship material in English. Someone gives us an order of service. I type it out, all the words of the hymns and the Bible readings and any prayers and stuff. And we get one of the Iranian people to translate it. There's two people take it in turns. Thanks to the mysteries and the wonders of Microsoft, I also translate it into other languages. We had a family from Pakistan. Microsoft knows Urdu, and they said, I don't know how polite they were, that was fine. We've now got a lady from Eritrea who speaks Amharic, Amharic, which I've produced for this week. Mainly the Christians who've come to this country. Some have become Christians here. We had a lady who we didn't know, but she came, started coming to church, sitting very quietly at the back, and then one day asked about who Jesus was. She was being baptized, her child has been baptized, they've moved on to dispersed accommodation and welcomed by the Methodist Church near there. I'm going to ask you later to pray for Hapu and Tamara, who came from Sri Lanka, because they've just moved to Haywood. They don't know anybody in Haywood. They didn't know until the day they went where they were to go. I think they're still not sure where they are, but they're from Sri Lanka. The lady, at least, was a Buddhist before. They want to be baptized. They would have been baptized on Easter Day if Hapu had not been ill. That's what I want to say about Sundays. So just a few couple of observations before I leave a bit of time for Christine. Sorry, Christine. Is it worthwhile? Well, depends who's counting. I'd like to think that for the people who come, it does help a bit. That they see a friendly face, that they maybe learn some English, they're given some help with living in this part of the world, that they smile occasionally, and when we smile with them, and sometimes we cry with them. But let's be realistic. We might get 30-ish, few more people on Tuesdays. The biggest number we've had on Sundays is 28, which is quite a lot in Darston Lane. The specials, we had 100 people, including volunteers, at Nowruz, but that was by far more than we ever get. And that's a fraction of the people in the hotel. And it's probably the people who are most confident. The volunteers have benefited, I think. They keep coming. And we probably should recognise that we don't involve much the residents in planning an execution. I'd struggle to know how we could do it better than we do, but we don't do that. We didn't expect it to last that long. In 2016, it was all over in 4 months-ish. I was busy working, I don't know. So when they said to us in October 21, do you fancy doing something? Yeah, 4 months, we can do that. But here we are now, a bit later on, and it's not showing any sign of going away. And I really hope they don't all get put in a floating container ship or something. The church, on the whole, is very supportive. And that's not a given, is it? Because if people are spending a lot of time and energy doing this, for people who have come from outside, we're not doing other things. We are doing other things, but we're flipping exhausted. And near constant pressure, that's probably over-egging it a bit, but it's a rare day when we're not doing something related to the people at the Britannia. We've had email conversations buzzing backwards and forwards over the last couple of days. A family has moved to Birkenhead. One of the people has got a hospital appointment back at Stepping Hill. Should she go to it? Who's going to get her there? Could you go across and fetch her and I'll take her back? Oh, it's not Tuesday, it's Wednesday. It's good fun. Christine, where's Christine? Do you want to say your bit now, and then we'll have a general questions discussion?
So I haven't really prepared much to say about Matt V. I'll keep it brief, I think. Since January, my husband and I have been sharing our home with a young Ukrainian student. He was 18 in the autumn. He left school at 16, which was standard for Ukraine, and started on a software engineering university course. So he's in his second year of doing that, and he does it online. He came to us via a charity, which we'd actually signed up to when our youngest son left home and we decided our children weren't going to keep coming back. So we hadn't actually been sent anybody through that charity, apart from one occasion they asked us to host somebody, and that was 5 days before we were due to go to New Zealand for 6 weeks. So we turned that down. But it did mean that we'd already had the discussions and thoughts about it when the situation in Ukraine developed, and so we signed up for that. He left Ukraine about a month after the invasion. He was living in Kyiv. His family still live in Kyiv. His mum works for the government, which is why she wasn't allowed to leave. His father is now retired and could leave, but has opted to stay with his family. And his older brother, who was over 18 at the time, couldn't leave. He's studying law at university, and if you're a student in Ukraine, you're not conscripted, so he's still studying. When he first arrived, we asked him how he speaks excellent English, by the way, which he taught himself by watching films, apparently. And when he arrived, we asked him how he wanted to arrange things. We specifically asked him if he wanted to cook his own food or if he would eat with us, and he said he would eat with us, which we have really enjoyed. Occasionally, he has cooked us some Ukrainian food, so we've had chicken Kyiv. He's excellent at pancakes, and he's also made us a Ukrainian Easter cake, which is a bit like panettone, which he made both for our Easter and for Ukrainian Easter, which was last weekend. I do his washing. And most of the time he spends in his room doing his computer course or just in his room. We have offered him another sitting room, but he prefers to go in his room. And everybody who we've contacted has been extremely helpful. We said we would have him for 6 months, but I suspect it will turn out to be a lot longer, because the situation in Ukraine doesn't seem to be ending, and I can't see how he'll be able to manage on his own. He's hoping to get a job, but he wants a proper job in computer software, which I think is an inexperienced 18-year-old is not very likely. But we did contact our son's former school, and through them they managed to help us arrange some work experience, and he's been to two different companies doing work experience, which has been very valuable for him. So I think that's that's the most effort we had to put in, really, was trying to arrange that for him. So I'll answer any questions that anybody wants to ask later about how we did it or what it's like living with Matvey or anything else you care to ask.
Oh, look, I've spoken for far longer than I meant to. I'm sorry. Can you imagine another 10 minutes? Because there's a couple of hymns, some prayers, and that's it then, 10 minutes? Well, you are nice, okay. Right. We've got a hymn now with some new words that the tune will be familiar, but it's a hymn called Cities of Sanctuary. It's a hymn called Cities of Sanctuary that's written by a composer, Andrew Pratt, who's got a number of hymns in the hymn book. And it was written in response to something Inderjit Bogle, former president of conference, said and asked. So, cities of sanctuary, places of safety, here where all strangers are welcome and blessed. You can.
I had the privilege, and I mean that, of leading worship at Dowson Lane on Mothering Sunday, not quite knowing what to expect.
Why should you be different?
Sorry?
Why should you be different? We never know. And that's not...15.
Yes, I do. My dad doesn't, my mum doesn't. Dad looked as though he should be a professional, a little like a doctor.
Electrician.
Sorry?
Electrician. Complained, yeah.
Circle,
I know.
How you read it? Pass.
Back to front.
But I think we need to pray for Dalston Lane continuously. They are doing an incredible job. And let's show our appreciation.
Mandy, I'm going to cry. Can we just have the hymn? Sorry, Katrina's reminded me that I didn't say anything about, and this is very, very brief, about the scheme that the circuit has. We've got a manse spare, and we're doing what I think Macclesfield Church, or Macclesfield Circuit at least, have done for a long time, and they're preparing to host a family, probably from a refugee camp in Yemen, Syria, Sudan, somewhere else, who will come straight into this manse. So there's a lot of preparation that they need to do, and there's a working party to prepare for that. But it's the manse on Mile End Lane, if you ever went there when various ministers were there. Well, it's the manse that's there anyway, whether you went there or not. Do you have any comments, any questions before I turn to our prayers of intercession?
Great question. Did you all get the best food for the GP?
I'm sorry, say it again.
Did you all get the best food for the GP?
Yes. This is one of the things that didn't happen very well initially, but now they've got a good system. There's a clinic around the corner, and they all go there. Now, how that clinic is managing, I don't know. Yeah, good question. Yes.
Have you had any lone children?
No.
No. Not, we're aware
not
of
that we're aware of, certainly. Good question. No. Anything else?
Andy said that amazing work. Thank you so much for being here.
Well, thank you. I'm sorry I went on as long as I did, but you can imagine. I love the slide you had right at the start where Andy will tell you all about what it would do. If I told you all about what we're doing, we'd still be doing it. No? Last chance? We're not dashing off. I like your coffee. Right. So let's turn to some prayers for ourselves and for other people. And reminding ourselves of that Emmaus story. So when I say the words, Lord Jesus, help us to recognize the signs, can we all respond and open our eyes to see you? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, help us to recognize the signs and open our eyes to see you. Lord Jesus, we come in stillness to seek you. We pause to review in our minds the week that's just gone, thinking of what's been important to us and wondering where God was and how God was in those moments, where we went, who we met. Lord, we rejoice that you are with us every step of the way in our life's journey. Sometimes we don't see you. Sometimes we forget that you are with us. And sometimes we're embarrassed to realize that you're with us. Lord Jesus, help us to recognize the signs and open our eyes to see you. Let's think about and pray for any important things that we know are going to be happening this week. I ask you to pray for Hapu and Tamara and their family, moved to Haywood 2 days ago. We hope they've gone to the Methodist Church that we found for them. We hope they've been made welcome. And we ask that for them and for us and for our community, we will know God walking with us. Lord Jesus, help us to recognize the signs and open our eyes to see you. And Lord, we know that you are also there in the big events in our world. And we bring to you now the people and places that we have heard about, who've made the headlines. We lift the nation of Sudan to you. To people who oppose what's going on in Russia. Communities in the United States devastated by gunfire. And we think of the difficult situations, the bad situations in Yemen, Ukraine, Iran, Syria, Afghanistan, and many, many more places. Lord Jesus, help us to recognize the signs and open our eyes to see you. And we pray for this church and for this community, and for us and for our friends and families, to all who are dear to you, dear to us, with their hopes and their fears and their pain and their suffering and their happiness and their rejoicing. Help us to know that you are with them and us. Lord Jesus, help us to recognize the signs and open our eyes to see you. And we say together the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our last hymn is a hymn that reminds us of our journey, the journey that we're all taking, either a physical one or a one in our lives. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, guiding us wherever we are.
Thank you.
Can we say all this together, please? Lord, as we go from here, walk with us and those with whom we travel. Help us to see that we're on the same road, travelling in your love. Amen. Say together, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, evermore. Amen. Oh, sorry, I went on too long. Some of the switch on. Yeah.